The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back to the show. And as always, thanks for joining us and sharing a part of your weekend. And, you know, hopefully we got a great show for you today. I think we do, as always. Maybe I shouldn't say as always, right? That's the goal. And I find this stuff fascinating, as you probably hear me say every week. And that's what we're trying to do here. I'm trying to make it at least somewhat entertaining. Again, it's I know it's not reruns of Rush and MedVed, but hopefully we can at least hold your attention and hopefully, you know, also teach you something. And we're going to start, as always, with the market update. And we're also going to talk about the impact interest rates, because it shocked me. I was doing planning for the show this week, and I realized we talked about bonds and interest rates and all that other kind of stuff. We haven't talked about one of the biggest problems that we see with interest rates. And I think it's important that everybody understands this, and it really ties back into the essence of investing. And there's going to be some anecdotal stuff that we tie into that relates back to Warren Buffett. And actually, Mr. Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, has got a couple things that we're going to address regarding him in the show this week. And which is some exciting news, some interesting news that we're going to talk about later in the show, but we're going to talk about the Buffett bet. I don't know how many people of you have been paying attention, but there was a bet that Buffett did, and I don't want to blow it here. We're going to cover this later in the show. But there was a bet that Warren Buffett made with a hedge fund manager 10 years ago, where he said that he bet that the S&P 500, or a passive investment, just, you know, betting on the stock market as opposed to picking individual stocks, would outperform a bucket of hedge funds that, you know, can invest in individual stocks and bonds and do whatever they want. And Mr. Buffett won that bet. It was a $1 million bet. $1 million goes to charity. Well, he was all over CNBC late last week and early this week talking about how he would be willing to do the bet again. And somebody took him up on that. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But we also want to talk about the press question of the week, which is about alternative investments, hedge funds, private equity. All this is kind of tying together, right? We had a lot of questions about that, and I thought it's a great thing to discuss. What is that? What is private equity? What is a hedge fund? What does that mean? What does it offer you? Is it something you should be interested in? So we'll talk about that too. And along with the interest rate discussion that we're going to discuss, that's a little redundant. Forgive me. But we're going to talk about, and I mentioned this earlier, but we want to talk about something specifically called the misallocation of capital. And that's the thing that we'd never addressed as far as interest rates went before. And that's a really important thing. And it's also something that we don't just talk about theoretically in the sphere of investing. It's also something that if you learn from it, you can apply it to your everyday life as well. You can apply it to the decisions you make regarding real estate or other investments you make, or maybe even purchasing a car. Anyway, it's an important concept to really understand. So that's kind of the theme of the show. But let's get into the market update, right? The rocket ride continues. Enjoy it and pay attention to it, right? Just because we point out the problems and the pitfalls, you know, remember, Know Your Risk Radio, we are focused on the risk. You know, like my college football coach, Frosty Westering, I played football at PLU. He used to always say, guys, we don't need to focus on the things that we're really good at, right? Well, let's focus on the ways that we can improve. Let's focus on the weaknesses. So I don't want anybody thinking, and this happens way too often. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm not clear enough. I don't want anybody thinking this is a gloom and doom radio show. It's not at all, right? We talk about it all the time. We don't time markets. We're not gambling. We're not trying to tell you, oh, this is going. What we are trying to do, though, is discuss the risks and how to be proactive about them. And what we're seeing, and I run into way too many clients all the time now that see the risks, that like the things that we talk about, and their answer to that over the last 10 years is to be overly conservative. Maybe they're sitting on big piles of cash. Maybe they're all in bonds, right? Well, let's take a lesson from today. Right now is proof of why we can't time markets. Now, you're going to hear me talk about valuations. We talk about it every week. Okay, without a doubt, in a most metrics, this is the most expensive stock market in history. There are some where it's not, right? But if we've got 10 different ways to value the stock market and eight of them or seven of them are record highs, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that it's at or near the most expensive market in history. And that's important, right? It's important for us to look at. And we're going to talk about more about why the valuation picture is important. We talk about it every week, but just kind of a different bend that's going to go into what we're talking about with the Warren Buffett deal. But back to the market update, this is exactly why we don't try to time markets. Because guys, truthfully, markets have been above their historical averages in terms of valuations for the last 2 years. And yet here we are, right? Because we can't time it. Nobody really knows what's going to drive it. Why have the markets rallied 20% over the last year? It's the election. It's this. Well, look, and I'm not dogging Trump at all, but a lot of what he's talked about still hasn't even gone in place. And there's some big doubts about whether he's going to be able to do it. Not his fault, but remember, it's got to go through Congress. So will it be able to get done? What has happened in the last 20 years? Well, or excuse me, the last year with the 20% gain? Well, we see a resurgence in global growth. I wouldn't call it a resurgence, but it's picked up. It looks a lot like inflation. And bottom line is, when we're talking about risk management, we're not just protecting against the downside, guys. We're protecting against the upside, too. And we're not trying to time markets. What we're trying to do for clients is take advantage of markets. Build a portfolio that accomplishes your goals, but exposes you to as little risk as possible. Right? That's the goal. That's risk management. So if we've got two portfolios that both have average expected returns of, say, 7.5%, one costs us 50 basis points, another one costs us 1%. One would have lost 15% during the 2008 financial collapse. One would have lost 40. Which one do we want, right? Well, it's pretty obvious. And if it's not, it should be, right? You want the one that accomplishes the same amount of upside growth with less risk. Risk management. But again, we don't try to time markets because look at today. You know, if you'd asked me a year ago, do I think markets are 20% higher? I would have said absolutely not. But does that mean I'm going to pull my money out of the market? No, because we don't know. We don't know. And I wish we did. I wish there was a secret sauce we had. I wish I had a crystal ball. Because if you did, I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be phenomenal. Time markets would be great. Just nobody's able to do it consistently. Nobody. And so we certainly don't want to try. Now, what else we see going on in the markets? We see, you know, the winners keep winning. We see these hot stocks keep moving forward. They look incredibly expensive. Netflix is an example of that. Watching Netflix creep up to the $100 billion mark when it's got $8 billion of revenue and it's growing revenue at 25% a year. That's insane. And I'm not saying it's not going to keep going higher. Probably will. Just that's an example of stuff that really doesn't fit our risk model, right? And you see it all over the place. Valuations continue to climb. Revenues, you see a little bit of revenue growth, but the biggest thing is just the valuations. And valuations are important. And I know you get tired of me talking about it, and you get tired of probably hearing about it on TV. But listen, guys, it's, you know, the markets, you've seen the last 20 years when everybody is so excited and, oh, it can't go down. I was reading a survey that I want to say like 86, 87% of respondents expect the market to be up more than 10% over the next year. Again, doesn't mean we pull out, doesn't mean that we, but when everything is perfect and everything's priced perfection, it can't get any better. What should we do? We got to revisit our plan. What are we doing? Are we exposed to too much risk? Are we exposed not enough? What's going on? Because we're managing for the long run. We're not trying to maximize gains in the next 12 months. Right? We're trying to fund a retirement. So I think that's really important to keep in mind. Another thing, the interesting thing to keep an eye on is crude oil. And we talk about crude oil all the time. Crude oil is a great indicator of the, you know, commerce. It's, you know, as economies around the world are picking up steam, they're going to, you know, more trucks are going to be driving around, more semis on the road, going to be burning more crude oil. And crude oil has just really captured my attention lately because it's really one of the only things that really isn't confirming this inflation story. So that tells us a couple of things. Maybe there's some opportunity in crude oil, right? It's the one thing that's not charging to all-time highs. Yet at the same time, maybe it's telling us that these stories of growth around the globe are a little bit overhyped. And, so it definitely something to keep an eye on, right? If this whole global resurgence story is true, we're going to see it in crude oil eventually. So it's always a good thing to keep an eye on crude oil. Copper's like that too, right? We used to call it Dr. Copper. If you want to see an economy expanding, if you want to look at the growth rates, because every time we build a building, every time we're making a structure, copper usually plays an important role. So it's a good indicator about the demand or the rate of growth in an economy. And copper's bounced up, but still, again, it's kind of where oil is, right? It's still trading in pretty subpar territories. And it's not really confirming this global growth, global inflation story yet. But it definitely does look like inflation's picking up, which I think is going to be a much bigger story going ahead over the next 10 years. And I know people have been expecting inflation for a long time and people are tired of hearing about the inflation story. But trust me, guys, it's going to happen. You can't print $4 trillion. And that's just the U.S. government. We've printed about somewhere between $20 to $25 trillion in new currency. Maybe not. Maybe it's 18. Anyway, it's since the financial collapse. It's going to take a toll. So anyway, stick with us. We got a great show coming up. We're going to get into the problems with low interest rates and the misallocation of capital. We're going to go bigger into the Buffett bet that we teased a little bit earlier. And we're also going to address the question of the week. So as always, we've had a lot of calls lately, actually, some great conversations. I always love talking to the listeners. And thanks again for listening. But you can call us at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Maybe it's a 15-minute phone call we have where I tell you exactly how we're doing things, compare the rates of return over the last 10 years to what you're currently getting and expenses. Maybe it's that. Maybe you want to set up a meeting and an actual consultation. Give us a call. We Dory's a client of ours, Dory Monson, obviously, and one of the things we see eye to eye on is just full transparency. We're not going to tease you. It's not a sales tactic. Just, hey, this is how we do things. Take a look. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And then to answer another question somebody had, as always, go to knowyourriskradio.com and you can listen to every one of our segments. You go to our iTunes page. I think we've got over 200 segments now and we're cranking right along. So great show coming up. Stick with us. We got to take a quick break. but we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And for those of you just joining us, welcome. And for those of you that stuck with us through the break, thank you for sticking with us. And just a little synopsis, we did the market update first segment, just talking about how markets have rampaged higher, which is, again, should be a reminder to us that no matter how expensive things get, we want to guard against it, but we're not trying to time markets. But let's get into the real, and I love this stuff, if you can't tell. I love what I do, and I find the world of finance just, I never get tired of it. It's so fascinating to me. But one of the biggest problems with interest rates, we know that interest rates are at 5,000-year lows. And you sit there and go, how do you track them going back that far? Well, interestingly enough, we actually track them by looking at, and I'm probably going to screw this up, but there are ways that we look at interest rates based on farming from tablets that have been found, you know, that date back 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years, where farmers would borrow seeds from each other. And depending on the expected crop yield, that's how they'd pay it back. And so it was interest, right? It just wasn't with money. It was with commodities and seeds and farming. And so what we see is we've never seen an environment where interest rates are this low, period. We've certainly never seen a period of time when we had negative yielding interest rates, right? Where there's still $10 trillion of sovereign debt around the world trading in negative territories. And for those of you that don't understand that concept, it is exactly what it sounds like. When you buy something that has a negative interest rate, you're effectively paying somebody for the privilege to loan them money. And you'd sit there and go, well, why would you do that? Well, you wouldn't. That's the problem with negative interest rates, is they create anomalies. They create what we call a misallocation of capital. Now, what does that mean? Misallocation of capital. So I'm going to do my best to describe it. But this, to me, above all things, is one of the biggest problems with low interest rates. When you have the kind of the basis of the financial industry and the financial markets around the world is sovereign debt. That's sort of like the foundation, right? It's considered to be the lowest risk and the baseline under which pretty much, you know, everything else is built. And so when you take interest rates to record lows, 1.5%, 2%, or even a lot of this sovereign debt trading in negative territories, what happens? Well, people that need a 2.5%, 3% modest amount of return on their money, they got a ton of money, they're not worried necessarily about growing it, they just don't want to lose it. What do they do? Well, to generate that 2%, 3%, 4%, whatever that might be, where as early as 10 years ago, it was a portfolio of municipal bond funds that was maybe paying 6.5%, 7% interest tax-free, which was, I mean, can you imagine that? I wish we had something like that to offer today. But that was just 10 years ago, guys. It's crazy. I always remind people that the 10-year U.S. Treasury as early as 2004, 2005 was paying 6.5%. Today, it's 2.2%. Maybe it's bumped up as high as 2.34, I want to say. So what happens in that environment? Well, that capital has to go somewhere else, right? Because it still needs to generate its 3, 4, 5% return. So where does it go? And the answer is really anywhere, right? Where usually in the past, they'd look at it and they'd say, okay, well, let's put it with this company that's making 7%. But when the bar is so low, when interest rates are at record lows, we could also invest this capital in this company that's only returning, you know, let's say 3.5%. Maybe it's a very low margin business. It's not generating a lot of profit. So now all of a sudden in the past, there's this company that's generating that low profit, you know, think maybe like a utility or, a propane delivery company. Those are extremely low margins. They can be good businesses though, but extremely low margins. And so what happens is that capital that used to be in municipal bonds and government bonds, like I said, it's got to go find somewhere to get its return. And so you've got all this capital now chasing things that it didn't used to. And what does it do? It drives up the cost, where now you've got a company that's, like I said, is a low margin business returning 3.5%. And previously over the last 50 years, you know, for a company that had margins that low, maybe we'd pay 7 or 8 times earnings for that, right? Maybe that's the average, and I'm just spitting numbers out there. But today, because of the low interest rates and because there's so much money out there trying to find a positive yield, you know, positive rate of return, where that company with those low margins before was trading at, you know, 7 or 8 times earnings, today it's at 14, 15 times earnings. And so the people that have owned that company, they're feeling good, right? The stock's higher than it's ever been. It's traditionally a low margin business, but the stock's done really well. But there's something that we got to remember. regardless of what the price of the equity is right now, the laws of finance haven't changed. That business all of a sudden isn't a high margin business. People are just paying more for it. And this gets us back to the Warren Buffett conversation that we're going to dive more extensively into in a segment or two, which is an old adage that Buffett always talks about, which is there's no bad assets, there's just bad prices. Meaning that if you've got the greatest company in the world, like take Apple, for instance, and they got a giant pile of cash, they got massive revenue growth, they got massive profit growth. If you pay too much for that asset, if you pay too much for that company, no matter how great it is, it's not going to return a level of capital to you to make it a good investment. And a simple analogy that is, let's say you got a company that's making $1 million a year profit, right? If you can buy that company, regardless of what it does, let's say it transports horses, right? Super boring. But it makes $1 million a year doing it, and you can buy that company for $3 million. That's going to be a phenomenal investment. You're going to get a 33% annualized rate of return on your money. Phenomenal. Now, if the price of that business goes up because of low interest rates, so even though it's a boring business, we want that positive yield, right? People are willing to pay more. And now all of a sudden that business costs $30 million. Is that a good rate of return? Well, at $30 million, if you pay $30 million, you're making 3.3% on your money. But you're also accepting business risk, right? Maybe the demand for horse transportation goes down for whatever reason. Maybe there's new legislation that prohibits the transport of horses across state lines. Maybe you have a driver has an accident and it ends up injuring or killing a really good racehorse, right? You've got business risk. And the question is, do we want to take on the business risk of that investment when we're making 3.3%, when we can stick our money in 30-year U.S. government treasuries and make 3% and take virtually no risk other than interest rate risk, right? This is the misallocation of capital. Now, if you've owned the business and you bought it at $3 million and it was making, you know, when you were making $1 million and you got that 33% return on your money and you can sell it to the next poor chap that because he can't make a return on his money because interest rates are so low, he's going to pay $30 million for it. It's great for you. It's not for the guy buying it for $30 million. And that's the whole gist of valuations. And that's why we can't get too carried away with stock prices. We've got to pay attention to the underlying businesses. Because eventually, every asset will reflect its cash flow. It will reflect reality at some point. When? Who knows? And that's why valuations are a problem, because these low interest rates create these misallocations of capital, where capital is flowing into places where it's not productive. And it looks good to us because we look at it and go, oh, look at the price of that thing going up, and it's going up, and it's going up. But remember, we don't buy assets because the price has gone up. That's called investing via the greater fool theory, meaning that we're investing in something because we think a greater fool is going to come along and pay us more. That's not investing. That's speculation. That's betting. Right, we want to stay disciplined and look at the businesses and go, okay, this is how much they want. What kind of return am I going to get on that money? And is that return commensurate with the level of risk I am taking? Because if it's going to pay me 3% on its money, I don't want to worry so much about what I think the stock's going to do, because stocks go up, stocks go down, who knows, right? What I want to focus on is what kind of profit, what kind of revenue, what kind of cash flow is this business creating? And is that cash flow attractive considering the amount of money I'm putting in? And when you get into times like this right now, everybody gets so infatuated with what's going on with stocks, we forget it's not just stocks. We're investing in real companies, guys. We're investing in people and plants. And that eventually these conditions are going to change, rates are going to go up, and all of a sudden, again, going back to Buffett, the tide goes out. And when the tide goes out, we find out who's been swimming without swimming trunks. Right? Again, that's another Buffett adage. And that's where the misallocation of capital becomes painfully evident. A great example of that was 1999, the tech boom. Everybody's making all this money, right? Well, all of a sudden, the economic winds change and reality hits. And now we're looking at these companies that have multi-billion dollar market capitalizations, and they're making no money or they're losing money. And then all of a sudden, everybody runs for the exits at the same time. And it's hard to do in times like these. Hardest thing in investing is to sit and watch your neighbors getting rich. But we got to be disciplined because we know gravity is going to set in at some point. And we got to be careful that we're not participating in that misallocation of capital because those winds of change happen fast. It's the old adage, risk happens fast. Markets take an elevator or an escalator up and an elevator down. So anyway, we got to get rolling. That's it for interest rates and misallocations of capital. We still got, we're going to talk about the Buffett bet and the question of the week coming up in the next couple segments. And then we also have a discussion. We're going to rerun it. We got a lot of questions about it, a lot of comments about it. Our discussion with Dory Monson, our most well-known client, the voice of Seattle, I call him. I think that annoys him, which is why I still call him that. But anyway, stick with us. Got a great show coming up. Other really interesting topics and some surprise news to go along with this Buffett thing that I'm excited about. And I think you guys will get a kick out of it as well. So as always, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Set up a free risk review. Takes 15 minutes on the phone or set up a consultation in person. You're going to meet with me. You're going to talk with me. And like I said, hopefully we'll just provide you some information, if nothing else. And you can also go to knowyourriskradio.com, listen to all of our segments, go to our iTunes page, and listen to everything we've ever done. And hopefully it's a good source of information for you. So stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show, and thanks for sticking with us, guys. And, okay, I think I probably say this every time, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but I'm really excited about this next segment because we're going to talk about the Buffett bet. And the reason I'm excited about it is because of a little something that happened last night. But anyway, getting back to the Buffett bet, what was the Buffett bet? So, let's see, 10 years ago, Warren Buffett came out and said, look, don't invest in these high-priced mutual funds. Stay away from the high-priced hedge funds. Just bet on the S&P 500. And I'm willing to bet any one of these big hedge fund managers that a simple bet on the S&P 500 over the next 10 years will do better than hedge funds. And whoever loses the bet's got to pay $1 million to charity. So a guy took him up on that. I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he lost. Buffett significantly outperformed, the S&P outperformed the hedge fund, and the guy lost. And so Buffett was recently on the air this week, because the 10 years isn't over, but it's close. And he said that he'd be willing to do the bet again. Well, right after that, a guy by the name of Mark Yusko, who runs a $2 billion firm, Morgan Creek Capital, came on the air, and he's on CNBC all the time. Very well-respected guy. I've followed him for years. Very smart money manager. Great track record. And he said, you know what? I wouldn't have taken the bet then, but I'll take it now. I'll take the Buffett bet over the next 10 years. And you might be sitting there going, well, you're going up against Warren Buffett. You just made the bet. Another guy just lost. Why would he do that? And I'm going to give you my explanation of it, but we're also going to hear it straight from Mr. Yusko's mouth, because we're still working out the dates, but he's going to be on air with us. He's going to join us here. We're going to interview him and talk about the Buffett bet and what prompted him to go head-to-head with Warren Buffett. And you're going to hear it from him himself. He's agreed to come on the show. So we're still working out the dates and exactly when that's going to happen. But stay tuned. We'll let you know. We'll keep you updated. It's not a segment you want to miss, because First of all, he's a brilliant guy with a track record, and you're not going to be, you know, you don't get a lot of chances to pick these guys' brains and hear what they have to say. And he's a brilliant investor in his own right. He's, like I said, got a great track record, and it'll be exciting just to hear it, you know, hear it from his mouth. But it's also going to be fun because we're going to get a little insight into a bet he's got going with Warren Buffett, obviously one of the best investors of all time. But what, now I haven't spoken to Mark about this yet. We will, you know, before he comes on the show. And he also happens to be a Husky fan. So so he fits right in here, right? In the whole Seattle area. But anyway, and we want to hear what he says. Why are you going head to head with Warren Buffett in a challenge that the guy just lost $1 million on? But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I think he's doing it. And I'm pretty sure he's going to echo this sentiment. Because anytime you walk into your financial advisor's office, regardless of where it is, they're going to talk to you about stocks and bonds and expected rates of return. And they're going to talk to you about averages going back to the Great Depression. Now, stocks average 11% a year and bonds average this, you know, 5. And we've talked about the bond thing, but let's talk to this, go to the stock thing. Is it true that the S&P 500 has averaged 11% a year since the Great Depression? Yes, that is absolutely true. And depending on how you look at it, you can make the argument like Dave Ramsey does that it averages 12 because he's talking about more recent history. You can, you know, invest dividends or not invest dividends. So there's some variability to that, but we'll just call it 11 because that's kind of the middle point, but right around there. But something really important to think about, guys, is that, remember, we're talking about average rates of return over 100-year periods of time. So no, understanding basic mathematics, we are fully aware then that if it averages 11, there are periods of time where it averages far below 11, and there are periods of time where it averages far above 11. And this goes right into valuations. And this goes into why we're talking about risk management right now. Because if we look at where valuations are in the market right now, based on where they... So we're going to use the same logic. We're just going to flip it on the financial advisors of the world. Okay? Now, stay with me. If we all have this tremendous faith in this 11% a year, then let's look at it from a different angle. First of all, what markets have done over 100-year periods of time shouldn't be the number one thing you base your investing decisions on, because none of us that are investing right now are going to be here in 100 years, right? We need to be looking at what's more important to us, or what do we think, what kind of gains should we be expecting over the next 20? That's applicable to us. Now, how do we figure that out? Well, what we've done is we've sat there and gone back through the 100 years and we've said, okay, we acknowledge the 11% average, but how does that get dispersed? Right? What can we expect going forward in the next 10 years? And if you don't take my word for this, Google Jack Bogle, Vanguard, the guy that started Vanguard, and he's spoken about this in the last few months. And what we do is we go, okay, we know that we're at record high levels and close to, if not at, record high valuation of the stock market. So let's go look at other periods of time that are similar to this and then see what the 10-year rates of return were after periods of really high elevations or really high asset prices, and see what going forward from those points that are similar to where we're at now over the next 10 years. When we look at all those points in history and then we average them all together, what we come up with, and again, Jack Bogle, don't take my word for it. Take it, you know, a lot of Vanguard believers out there. Listen to what the guy that started Vanguard says. Going forward, based on that analysis we just talked about, the expected rate of return over the next 10 years for the S&P 500 is somewhere between 3.5, as high as 4% a year, not 11. And do you get that? We all put in stock in this 11% return, but what have we averaged over the last 8 years? 20. Do you think there's a new paradigm? Do you think we can expect 20% a year and going out to infinity? Of course not. And so that's why it fries me when these guys just throw this out there. Oh, 11% a year, just put it in there and forget it. Yeah, and if you've got 100 years to wait for that average to play out, great. Yeah, go that way. But we got to look at how those returns are distributed. We've been almost 9 straight years now of 20%+ returns. That's not going to continue. So if you believe in that 11% average, and that's what you're basing your investments on, now would be a good time for you to dial back the risk in your portfolio. Not try to time the market, but using that average, if you believe in it, then you'd also have to acknowledge that the next 10 years are probably not going to be anywhere close to that 11% average. And I hope you guys understand what I'm talking about, because while that piece of information there does not tell us when markets are going to drop, it provides a good piece of framework that the average financial advisors aren't talking about. And they get so caught into this don't time the market, and it's just a sales pitch. But they're not telling you that we, with pretty good consistent results, we can look back through history and get an idea of where markets are going to go from here. Is it going to be exact? Nope. Is it going to be a perfect timing mechanism? Nope. Does it make us like Nostradamus? Nope. But if we've been participating in this, and good job if you have, and if you've held tight during the last 8 to 9 years, then you're reaping the rewards right now. But what do we know? We know that the next 10 years aren't going to keep pace. And I don't care what Rick Adelman or anybody else says. I don't believe that this time is different. I don't believe that all of a sudden trees can grow to the sky. I also, like I've said a million times, I don't believe in market timing. But again, if we believe in that 11% average, we need to put it in context. When we put it in context, even the founder of Vanguard says we're probably looking at 3 to 4% annualized returns from the S&P 500 over the next 10 years. And he said that that would be a positive outcome. And yet you go talk to your financial advisor and all your stuff is built on this 11% year average. So what does that tell us? Tells us that now is a really good time to really dig into risk management, to position our portfolio in a way that if I'm wrong and this time is different and stocks are going to the moon and it's going to be great, perfect. You're going to be great. But we're just going to add a little extra layer of security. We're going to be a little bit more cautious. And because we believe in averages, because we believe in math, because we believe in history, we do not believe that that rate of return will keep up. Again, I'm using the averages, the same arguments that the normal financial advisors are, and saying, you know, we've had a phenomenal 10 years. We should probably be prepared for a little bit more of a rocky 10 years going forward, or not quite as good a rate of returns. A little less exposure to risk, right? It's just common sense. And we're turning that average on its head. And you got to, especially if you're preparing for retirement. And if you don't believe me, look at the last 20 years. Look how many people we know that had to go back and get a second job or couldn't retire on time because they got wiped out. Remember, we're not trying to invest in a manner that's going to end us up with the greatest amount of money 100 years from now. We know when we need the money. Most of us, it's within the next 10 years. So we need to risk manage toward that, not the strategy that's going to leave our heirs 100 years from now with the most amount of money. So anyway, you don't have to take my word for it either. Like I said, Google Jack Bogle, Vanguard, and then we're going to have Mark Yusko, the guy that's going head-to-head with Warren Buffett on the show in the next 3 weeks, and we're going to have Mark talk about it and see what he has to think. So as always, if you want to continue this conversation or you think this is compelling, remember, we have a saying on the show here, no opinions, just the facts. We're talking about the facts. I'll share these numbers with you. I'll share this performance data with you. No faith involved. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and I'll show you how we're keeping our clients in the market. We're not trying to time it, but we're providing an extra layer of security and lowering costs. That's another big one, lower costs. Every cent we save in costs is a guaranteed cent increased in the returns we're going to have over a period of time. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com, access our iTunes page there, and get all of our different segments we've done. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with the Dory Monson, our discussion with Mr. Monson, the voice of Seattle. And we're going to finish with the question of the week with some really good pertinent information there. So stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Without further ado, it's the man of the hour or the man of the week or...
You know,
pick your time frame.
I think everyone's getting sick of these flowery introductions of me. I'm here so often that I don't know that I'm worthy of so many intros.
Well, we've got a lack of talent here on our show, Dory, okay. And we've got to inject some here with some real professionals. Yeah. But so what we're talking about this week is, and you and I have talked about this a lot, preservation of loss, right, or preservation of capital. And what an impact that not taking those big disastrous losses happens in the long run.
Sure.
Right? And what that looks like 20, 30 years out. And you and I have talked about it. We were going over that quantitative strategy, but you know, you can see that while so many investors focus on the performance in the upmarket, or I made 18% last year, right? One of the biggest deciding factors is, okay, but how do you look in the down markets?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, preserving your portfolio against those catastrophic losses.
Yeah, it's not that tough to make 30% in a great market if you lose 40% in down market.
Right,
if you're
right.
Taking those kinds of risks. And that's why, you know, and as you know, because you and I talk about it a lot, Zach, and I talk about it with my kids a lot, that you just want to have a strategy, a plan going in. You want to stick to it. Too many people are, you know, they're just whipsawed by markets going up. And then they plunge at the wrong time. They plunge at the top. Or the market's going down and they sell everything at the bottom. And when people panic, it's usually a result of not having a plan, and not having a plan makes you susceptible to emotion, and emotion is what brings most people down from accomplishing what their goals are.
Right, and one of the things we've talked a lot about on the show, but you and I have also talked about in that vein, is that getting clients to think about that before, right? Like not buying insurance after the fire.
Yeah.
And you know, that preservation aspect of it, you shouldn't start chasing a market that's hot, and you shouldn't start selling indiscriminately because it's going down. We need to think a little bit opposite, right? Where in 2009 with our clients, it was, no, we're buying. Just close your eyes. We got to go in there and buy. There's great value.
Sure.
Today, it's the flip side. We're not, we can't predict crashes. Nobody can predict market movements. But we're sitting there going, look, people, this stuff is valued richer than it's ever been. The focus right now should be on preservation.
Yeah, well, it's like when people go to the store, and if something is priced way more than you think you should pay, you simply don't buy it.
Right.
Unfortunately, people don't do that in the stock market, and it's the same thing. When something's on a big sale, that's when you pick it up. But it's the opposite for many investors. When everything's on sale, they say, oh, no, I don't want to buy right now. Just compare it to when you go to the grocery store, the department store, and you see something that's price is wildly out of whack and you make your decision accordingly. Well, you should do the same thing with stocks, but when it comes to investing, people usually do the exact opposite of
Right.
Yeah. And that's where you just come up with a good, solid, long-term plan, stick with it, and I think you do a fantastic job with that for all of your clients.
Well, thank you. And I think one of the other things that we've spent a lot of time talking about is that getting a little bit more secure or limiting that downside, it doesn't have to mean lack of returns. Right.
Right. There, yeah.
Quite frequently we lower clients' fees when we increase the performance of the portfolio, but we also make it more secure. And it just has to do with what are you using, right? It's I just feel like too often it's binary, right? If we're secure or we're more stable, well, that means we're not going to make any money.
Sure.
No, yeah. That's not necessarily the case. And it's usually not. There's just smart things that we can do to limit that downside exposure. And like we said, that was kind of the mind frame that we were talking about all day on the show, is approaching things with the right idea, right? It's not all or nothing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I've seen all the news stories, and there certainly are some, you know, indicators that suggest that there could be some tough times ahead. Yeah. But I've thought that for a while because it's been such an overpriced market. So yeah, I think that and I've seen the stuff, you and I have talked a lot about the stuff that you do for people so that they can be protected if it goes down, but still get some upside when things are going roaring ahead. So yeah, I like that. I like that plan, and I think that it's just a solid strategy for people. And man, if somebody plunges right now, I'd be real nervous. And I may have told you this, I may have even talked about it last time we were on the air together, but one of my daughters, who I've talked to so much about just being a good, steady investor and have a plan, stick yeah. with it, she goes, "Do you think I should invest in Bitcoin?" and she said, "It was 30 cents a few years ago, and it's 4,000 now." And I said, "Honey, look, we've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, yeah.
That no, you don't chase something like that, especially something that has a price that fluctuates, you know, $300 or $400 a day."
And how old is your daughter?
This is my 23-year-old.
Oh, so my 27-year-old sister just told me last night that 2 weeks ago she invested $4,000 in a couple different Ethereum and Litecoin, two different, but the same thing,
yeah,
right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there are people, I guess, who are making money on that.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the same people who, you know, the one out of 50 who walks away from the roulette table a winner.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
Because it's about the same thing.
Yeah, well, and we were saying that, you know, I've done a lot of research into cryptocurrencies, right? Like, there's nothing there. There's no there.
Well, there's no underlying value.
Right.
Yeah, and so when you're buying something just because everybody else is buying it,
tulip mania.
That's the worst thing you can possibly do. And so yeah, it's very funny. And I said, "Look, I'm going to send you a couple." I sent her a couple of stories about it. She, yeah, I get it. But that's the thing. I've been talking to my kids about this for years because I want them to be financially educated. And even with all of my steady guiding counseling, Zach, they still, you know, she was, you know, at least somewhat receptive to this idea that, man, maybe I should get in on this. And I talked her out of it.
The lure that, well done, sir. Yeah, I just spent the last 10 minutes trying to talk everybody out of it and trying to.
Oh, that's funny. I had no idea you were talking about that in your last segment. That's really funny.
And you probably are, but you're familiar with the whole tulip mania thing.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And I would challenge every investor, if you're not familiar with that story, I mean, I think it's an incredibly powerful and impactful story that everybody that invests should know mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah.
But go Google tulip mania and go read about it. This is not new. This, right? This is not the first.
Centuries old. Yeah.
Right, right. It's been happening for a long time. So check it out. But anyway, I appreciate that. And way to fight against the cryptocurrency war that I'm waging constantly.
Yeah, it's just silliness. You're buying ether.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's a new one. The new one that came out a week ago was, the name of the coin is the F word.
Okay.
And it's up 300% in the last 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, well, of course it is. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, there are certainly people who are making money, but it's usually the people who are starting these cryptocurrency. I mean, it's like a Ponzi scheme at that point.
Yeah.
And so that's not the way to go. Just have a good, solid plan,
stick with it,
and get some good advice. And that's where Zach comes in.
That's right. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate you coming to visit, and I encourage all of you to stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. And thank you, Dory.
Thanks, Zach.
And you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back once again. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And I really hope that last segment made sense, because I don't want it to seem contradictory. And for those of you that are just joining us, we talked about the 11% return from the market. And that's what you're always going to hear financial advisors talk about. But they leave people with the bad assumption, and a lot of them run financial plans on this too, that they stick your money in, you're going to average 11%. If you're talking about a 30, 40 year time horizon, yeah, you probably will. Okay, but most of us listening to this show, most people that are listening to a financial show on a Saturday are probably a lot closer to retirement. So we need to be more concerned in retirement what we think is going to happen over the next 10 and 20 years, because that's much more applicable. So when markets are at these valuations and they've had all these gains, is it likely that over the next 10 to 20 years that the market's going to average 11%? No, it would actually be unprecedented. Because when we look back in history, when markets get elevated like this, what is the long-term rate of return in the 10 years following periods of this? And like I said, it's more like 3 to 4. So we're just diving deeper into the averages. We're saying to people, yes, we accept your average, your number of 11% annual rates of return, but we're retiring in 10 years. So what our money does over the next 100 years is of actually little concern to us. What's more important to us is what our money does over the next 10. And it just drives me nuts when advisors don't discuss that and look at that, because it makes a big difference. And we've seen a lot of people pay the price over the last 20 years for that kind of thinking. And again, we're not trying to time markets. There's easy ways that we can protect against it. And then when we get a drop or the market does slow down, then we commit more capital. And we turn those drops or those plunges in the market into opportunities as opposed to life-altering events. And we're still not trying to time the market. And I hope that makes sense. So anyway, let's move on. I want to get to the question of the week. Because recently, we launched something called a private equity fund for our accredited investors. And not because we don't want to include other people, but because of SEC regulations and rules. These alternative investments, things like hedge funds, you've probably heard that term, private equity funds, they're considered less liquid, they're considered more risky in general, and the SEC requires, you know, investors that invest in these to have at least a net worth of $1 million. So remember, we're always talking about valuations. And remember, earlier in the show, we were talking about the misallocations of capital. So one thing that we have noticed over the last few years is that virtually everything that you can buy in the stock market is at or close to or above or somewhere. It's all really expensive. Again, not predicting a plunge, just it's really expensive. And we want to avoid that misallocation of capital that we talked about earlier in the show. And we started looking around and we thought, you know what? What's funny is there is still value out there. But it all seems to be more in the private equity space or in privately owned companies that we can't buy stock in, which makes sense, right? Because those are less liquid, those are less available to the average investor, and so money hasn't flowed into those things as a result. Now, a perfect example of this, and it's funny that this announcement came out yesterday, because in response to this, we started looking around for private equity opportunities for our clients. Areas where we found really good looking companies or really good possibilities, but stuff that we couldn't buy stocks in. You know, because we're big believers that there's always value out there somewhere. Sometimes you just got to dig a little deeper. And so we came up with this, you know, a couple different investments, different things we wanted to do. So we launched this private equity fund for our accredited investors. Now, interestingly enough, like I said, yesterday, or was it this morning? It was either this morning or yesterday. It came out that Warren Buffett had bought a big stake in a private equity company himself, Flying J, the semi-truck, truck stop places. You've seen them around. They're owned by the Haslam family. And I believe Jimmy Haslam is the owner of the Cleveland Browns as well. But anyway, they've built this big network of these truck stop slash store stat slash restaurants. And they're a private company. And remember, we talked about how Warren Buffett had a record amount of money sitting on his balance sheet. You know, he talks about how stocks aren't expensive. And you go, okay, well, Warren, why are you sitting on the biggest amount of money you've ever been sitting on then? And it wasn't a huge purchase, not for him at all. It was a really small one. But he recently bought into this privately traded company. And it really married up with what we're looking at, which is we kind of felt like we had to start this private equity fund out of necessity because it was one of the only places we could find really good value. And we're all, like I said, we're always looking for opportunities. So anyway, what is the private equity fund? Well, and so naturally, as we started doing this, I started getting these questions. Well, what is a private equity fund? And what is a hedge fund? And what does that mean? And what do they invest in? So bottom line is, when you hear the term private equity fund or hedge fund, it really can mean anything at all. It's not a specific thing, right? It's like a lot of people believe that an IRA is a type of investment. It's not. It's an individual retirement account, IRA. And you can put almost anything you want into an IRA. I mean, there's some exceptions, but pretty much. And hedge fund and private equity fund are the same way. You can have a hedge fund that just invests in stocks. You could have a hedge fund that just invests in private equity. You could have a hedge fund that invests in all the above. But it's an alternative investment that's reserved for people that have $1 million net worth or more. And it seems elitist, but you know, it's if you want to know why, there's actually some good reasons for it, and I'd be happy to explain it to you. But I think it's important for investors to realize that there are other classes of investment out there. We're not, I tell clients all the time, look, there's more than just stocks and bonds. And your money doesn't care how it gets made. What our goal as investors should be, and what our goal at Bulwark is to put our clients' money where it is exposed to the least amount of risk and most amount and greatest amount of upside. And that's what a financial advisor should be, in my opinion. If you want just stocks and bonds and the typical allocation, you don't need to pay somebody like me to do it. You can do that yourself. Right? We should be bringing, you should have better results, less risky results, less costly portfolios. There should be a benefit an advisor is bringing to you that you can't realize on your own. You know, so if you're paying some guy 1% to manage a portfolio of ETFs that he changes once a year, holy smokes, guys, don't do that. You can do that on your own. And so the private equity or hedge funds or these, they can be a differentiator. They're what we call alternative investments. And it doesn't mean that they're always good, but there are really interesting opportunities out there, especially with the private equity side of things right now, because it's the one place where it's harder for money to flow into. Now, there's downsides. It's less liquid. We can't just push the sell button and have our money right back right away. But again, we're not traders. We're investors, right? So if we've got to sit on it for 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, that's not a big deal. We're investors. We're not trying to time markets. We're trying to buy value. And if value is in the private equity space, then that's where we're going to go. And I was just joking about this with a client that I met with right before we did the show. And I said, look, yeah, you know, we used to do this, but now we're doing this. Why? They're like, why'd you change? And I go, well, the facts changed. You know, the facts change, so should our opinions. And our goal as advisors should constantly be looking at that and going, okay, we're willing to change the way we do things because the fundamentals, the overall picture has changed, so we need to adapt. So anyway, thanks for joining us today. And stay tuned because we're going to have Mark Yusko on in the next couple, 3 weeks, somewhere in there to talk about his bet with Mr. Buffett. And we'll hear it from right from the horse's mouth. I'm really excited about that. He's a brilliant guy. Don't want you to miss it. And in the meantime, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can do a one-on-one consultation with me, 15 minutes over the phone, or we can do a sit-down meeting, whatever you want. Love to answer the questions. Love to provide information. And no high-pressure sales. We're just going to tell you how we do things, and you let us know if you want to set up an appointment or a consultation. So anyway, thanks again for joining us. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com. Have a great weekend. Go Huskies. Go Hawks. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.